Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Biggest game for the Titans in nearly a decade. Titans and Colts this Sunday night. We've been previewing it throughout the day and excited to bring in our next guest, Eddie George, who joins us. Eddie, great to hear from you, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, man. My heart is ailing right now. I'm in Houston. I went to the Vanderbilt Baylor game last night, and I tell you what, I'm really proud of the Commodores and what they've been able to accomplish. They fought hard last night. Just fell a little short, man. But what an exciting game last night to finish it. But my heart is hurting right now. But outside of that,
game.
I'm doing good. It was. It really was. I'm really proud of those boys. They fought hard. They fought through some adversity. They overcame a lot of turnovers, penalties, and you know came within three points of you know winning the ball game. And excuse me, 7 points of winning the ball game or tying the ball game, or whatever. But just an overall outstanding performance of just relentlessness by those boys. I'm really proud of them.
Well, we really appreciate you making time for us while you're down there. You're always good to us. Jim Wyatt did a great job tracking you down after he learned that you had a conversation with Derrick Henry around the bye. And we're hoping we could start with you kind of recounting. He called you and kind of said, hey, what's going on with my game from your vantage point? Where did it go from there?
Well, yeah, he called, and I've talked to Derek on a couple of occasions, but I got a sense that he was seeking out, you know, some tough love, some good feedback, and he said, listen, be brutally honest with me of what you see, and that told me that he was at a point where he was tired of, you know, what was happening with his game. He wasn't having the success that he was accustomed to having on any level. And I basically broke it down and told him what I saw. And I said, well, it just comes down to one fundamental thing, is that you're not imposing your will on defenders. You're not imposing your will on defenses. I mean, you're too big to be going down as soft as you are. And I think he understood that. I'm pretty sure that he's heard the same feedback from his coaches, from Mike Vrabel, from his running back coach. And I'm not going to sit up here and take credit for anything of a success right now, but I basically told him, I said, listen, man, you know, in this league, they're going to always look to replace you. And if you're not producing, if you're not putting up the numbers that you should be putting up and having the season that you should be having, then your career is going to be shortened. And every carry from this point on, and I think it was in the week eight, I said, it's going to, it's either going to enhance your career or take away from your career. And because you're running right now for the rest of your career, whether it's in Tennessee or elsewhere. And I guess he took those comments to heart. He had a heart to heart with himself and, went out there and worked his ass off in practice and went out in the games. And, we saw what he's been able to produce. He's running like a man possessed. And I just hope that he can continue to be consistent from this point on of what it takes to be consistent in this league and to be a professional in this league and to be the best in this league, that he could possibly be that way.
Eddie George, our guest. Eddie, do you see some of your traits in Derrick Henry, in the style?
We're both similar backs in terms of height and stature. I guess you could say we're both long striders. He's really a physical back. I guess, you know, when I look at when we compare styles, I would think that I could be a little bit more elusive in some areas. But for the most part, you know, I was a back that was a one cut and get downhill and let the defenders deal with me. And that's how I approached it. And For him, it's very much the same thing. It's just the flip of the switch in terms of this is what I'm going to do, making a decision that, hey, you know what, this is a chess match. Let me you know, assert my power and let them deal with that, and then the big runs will come. And I think often he was looking for the big runs out the gate because he was used to splitting time with somebody, and he wanted to show what he can do immediately. But sometimes you have to be patient with that, and you have to turn out the hard 2, 3, 4 yards before the bigger runs come, and not really worry about, you know, what people want to say, think about your yards per carry. It's a chess match. It's a marathon, not a sprint. So I think when you embrace that philosophy with his size and his speed, his physical natural gifts, that he can afford himself to do that. Now he's got the cushion and the opportunities now and the carries to really set up his runs the way he needs to. And this week is going to be really important because Indianapolis, I'm pretty sure their game plan is to shut 22 down. That's going to be the number one thing.
What does it feel like when you impose your will on the defender, where the defender knows by the second half that you're not just going to have the legs go down and stop moving forward, that you're actually going to deliver the contact? You know what that feels like. We don't. And I believe that's kind of what you were telling Henry.
Oh, from my perspective, it's first of all, it comes down, you got to have the blocking. You got to have the space to do it. So when your offensive line, when you're in sync with your offensive line, and it appears that that's where he is right now, is that he's in great chemistry with his offensive line in the front. When you have the space to do that, it just happens, and you can almost get a sense that the defense knows that it's going to happen that way. And your guys will challenge you in the first couple of quarters, but after a while, they're going to get sick and tired of hitting you in the third, the fourth quarter, and you can almost hear the wind come out of them. You can see it in their body language. What I used to look at when I played in the fourth quarter was the body language of defenders after I hit them. Were they bent over? Were their hands on their hips? Were their hands on their head? You know, were they anxious and eager to get back to the huddle? Were they slow to get up? All that tells you the story of, okay, I got them. You know, now it's over. Because once I saw your hands hit your hip, that means that you're tired, and you were tired of seeing me, and I'm going to come back again time and time again. And then you're going to make sure you get blocked versus coming off the block and trying to tackle me. So I think Derek is really just beginning to scratch the surface on what he can do in this league. Like I said all along, I feel like this kid can have an MVP-type season. He can rush for 1,700, 1,800 yards. Given the right opportunities, and if things go align correctly for him in that regard, I think he can be that type of back in his league.
Eddie George with us on the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone.
You and I talked about this a little bit when we sat down recently. This volume back idea has evolved since your career, and it's hard. He's done it a couple times now. He had 33 carries the other day. But it's hard to get over 20 carries in the league these days if you're not a great pass protector and if you're not a receiving option on third down. You've got to be Todd Gurley to get that volume. And so even when he's been going well, there have been some first halves where he's only getting 6 or 8 carries. How do you solve that puzzle where he's kind of been in a hurry to show he could do something because he's not convinced he's going to get the carries? How do you solve that puzzle if you're him now?
Well, all he can do, Paul, is just control what he can control. And when he gets those opportunities, he's got to just, it goes back to the old cliche. He's taking one step at a time, one play at a time, one carry at a time. And that's how he has to approach it. Because now that he has success, the last thing you want to do is to go outside of that, of what you've been what got you to this point was hitting it up in between the tackles and challenging defenders, is to go away from that trying to get the bigger runs and have big gains, because that's a delicate balance. So I would say, you know, this week especially, because Indianapolis is going to be a different animal and they're pretty good against the run, is that he has to embrace the contact, the physicality in between the tackles, and accept the fact that, okay, I might get 1 or 2 yards, but after contact, I have to be moving forward. That's a sign of success, whether it's 1 or 2 yards, and is a gain of 2 or 3 versus 5 or 7. So if you're getting those, if you're constantly moving the pile and moving forward after contact, after every hit, that's a sign of success. And then he'll start to break. If it's close and they have a lead, and who knows what happens with the defense and so forth, but if it's close, he can get those opportunities still and continue to hone in on that part of his game.
I know you beat the Colts in a playoff game. It's a little bit different for you, but you're a Titan all the way through. They've been such an obstacle for this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Is this game extra special to you in terms of the Titans clearing that hurdle in a way they haven't in a long time?
Well, for us, when I first got into the league, it was Pittsburgh. We couldn't beat Pittsburgh. That was a mental hurdle for us. And the first time we beat Pittsburgh was in 97, it was, or 98. It was 97 in Memphis, and they pulled their guys and so forth, and they were getting ready to go to the playoffs. But we were playing as if it meant something for us. And we beat them for the first time, and it was a mental hurdle. Well, from that point on, I think we beat them maybe 6 or 7 or 8 straight times in a row. And so for the Titans now, it's not about the streak. It's about establishing yourselves as champions. And this is their hurdle to do that. You know, they can, not champions in terms of winning the South, but their championship mentality. So this is a team that's always giving them a problem. Angelo has beaten them 10 straight times. This is for everything that's on the table. You know, this gets you in. This win, you're in the playoffs, you have a chance to live another week. So I think if they approach it the way they've been approaching it the last few weeks, that, hey, you know what, for 60 minutes, we're going to be in a fist fight, and that's what we're going to have to come down to, 60 minutes plus, and we're willing to do that. We're willing to lay it all on the line, and we'll let the outcome be what it's going to be on the scoreboard, then they'll be fine. I think they have to approach it that way, that, you know, they're going to turn this into a 60-minute drag-out slugfest, and that's the way the Titans have to play. That's their identity. That's who they are.
We don't have the full answer to this yet, but again, last time you and I spoke, we were talking about this their ability to go from great to bad so quickly and not to be able to nip it in the bud ahead of time. I think the Colts game spurred the conversation. They had been so good against Dallas and then New England, and then they couldn't see coming that they were in for such a letdown against the Colts. And you said you thought it was still a maturity thing and that they were more like you guys were in 97 and 98 than you were in 99. Now, they haven't had the greatest competition the last couple weeks, but they've done what they needed to do, and they haven't suffered that letdown. Win or lose this week, it's not going to be about that. They know the stakes. But do you sense that they've grown up some?
I do, Paul. I think they've taken care of business the way they needed to. There were some games, like the toughest part in this league is beating teams that you should beat. They've done that. And the fact that they were able to go out and beat Washington, they could have had a letdown against Washington last week at home, against a third-string quarterback. And it was a tough battle through and through, but they found a way to win the ball game. It wasn't pretty, but they made it happen. I think Indianapolis definitely gets their attention. They have the attention of the town. They have the attention of the city. They have the attention of these players. They understand what's at stake. And that being said, you know, prior to that, you know, Indianapolis was struggling early in the year. And you kind of could almost underestimate, you know, Andrew Luck and what they were able to do because you just didn't know. But now they have a season full of film on them. They have an idea of who they are, the challenge they present, and that's the beauty of it. I think this team is ready. I think they understand, you know, what's at stake, not just from the big playoff picture, but just in terms of the shift in power and how this one game can change, you know, the trajectory of this organization moving forward and who they're going to be. Derek is off to a great second half of the season. Mariota is coming off of the injury. The defense looks sound and solid. They've been pretty consistent all year long. And they have a chance to really make a statement here on Saturday night with the whole world watching to see what the Titans are going to do at home against an opponent they haven't beaten. So, the stars are aligned for something that's beautiful for the Titans, from my own perspective. So I'm really excited to see what's going to happen this weekend.
And, Eddie, for the first time in years, in a decade, really, we have a game of this magnitude at that stadium. And it's been a while since that stadium has felt and sounded like it used to. And I'm sure if I said, hey, describe the feelings of being in a locker room prior to a big game with the crowd being packed and loud like it used to be, you could describe the emotions and the goosebumps pretty easily, couldn't you?
Oh, no question. I mean, there were times when you come out of down that tunnel and you hear the roar of the crowd, you know, tears are coming out your eyes because you're so amped up. And for a professional that's in the league, you know, that doesn't happen often. But for me personally, that's what it felt like. You get so riled up emotionally that you have to contain it. You know, there have been several games that I played in that stadium where it was extremely loud against Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Oakland Raiders, whoever it may have been at that particular time, Jacksonville, and they're standing room only. And what's been disappointing for me is that during times, especially last year, when we had our playoff, we were vying for a playoff game, and you know the upper deck is not full, and it's like that's disappointing. So I think the fans want to follow something that's real, and they are not going to be sucked into believing in the Titans and then let down. We got to all be on board. I'm praying that this game is sold out and it's the majority Titan fans and it's up to the gills, because when that place is packed, it's rocking and it's extremely loud. It's the loudest stadium in the NFL when it's on fire. And I think it can be like that again. Hopefully it's like that this weekend. And for the players, if it is, oh my God. Oh man, it's going to be electrifying. Bill, I guarantee you this. If that place is sold out this weekend, the Titans are going to win. There's no way they lose. They'll feel that energy, and there's no hands down, there's no way they're going to lose that game, because they ride on that emotion. So I'm excited to see what happens this weekend. I'm getting chills as we speak. I wish I had pads to go play, but those days are done.
A lot of people wish you had pads. Eddie George, one of Nashville's favorite sons, and for good reason. We appreciate how good you are to us and taking a few minutes out of your family time in Houston. Sorry, Vandy didn't get the win for your guy and and for your
family.
That's
all right. Hey, maybe the Titans will make up for that this Sunday. Then I fly out to California to go see the Buckeyes play Washington. That could be another victory. So
you're going
to
be here?
Finish it off 2-1. Yeah, I'll be coming back. So we'll hopefully I'll be at the game and see it live and personal. So I'm working on it as we speak.
Thanks so much for squeezing us in. We really appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem, guys.
Thanks.
Eddie George, Titans legend, has been our guest.
If that place is sold out, there is no way they are going to lose that game.